Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Bruh Migos Podcast. Back again. You already know, weekly episode time. And we are coming to you guys today with a little NBA. Could Jason Kidd be coach of the year if the Mavericks maintain and, you know, pull out a playoff spot? Westbrook making blunders, costing the Nuggets games. MLB, would ABS help the game right now? Would it help the game? If you don't know what ABS is, check it out. It's being messed with in the minor leagues. Torpedo bats launching a little bit, just a little bit. NFL, you tush-push abolitionists, we got something for y'all. All right, and we're going to talk about a little bit of the WWE WrestleMania preview, and that's all today. Bruh Migos Podcast. Rob, what do we got to do, Rob?
We're going to hit that music.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. What up, though? We're going to start with a little NBA. And one of the first things that we need to talk about, I'm going to hand you the floor on this one. Ja Morant. Okay. Why you can't stop, though?
Ja Morant, I'm speaking to you as a fellow black man in this country. We are speaking to you as fellow black men in this country. I need you to do me a favor, okay? I need you to put yourself or myself in your mind, ourselves in your mind. And when I say that, I mean like this. I need you to make me stop feeling like a Republican every time you want to basically make finger gestures on the court. Because the thing about it is you've been suspended about this. This has been a thing. You basically brandished firearms, not killed anybody, not shot it, not did anything. But basically you had guns in photos, in videos, all that kind of stuff for no damn reason. In clubs, in the homie's car, like, I got you. You apologized for it. You said you wasn't going to do it again, all this kind of stuff. But yet you keep on making these finger gestures and you playing the victim because you're making it seem like everybody else is off base with this. But the thing about it is you're the one to keep doing it. You don't have to do it. You really don't. I get it, dog. You basically see everybody doing it. You basically like, you know what? I could be a part of that. I'm an NBA player too. I can make this happen. But then you got me and this and my boy having to basically be like, dog, what are you doing every time? And then we got to basically feel like the old white man clutch of pearls because you want to basically make finger guns. I need you to stop, dog. Just stop. Get something else, all right? You could do like this. You could do, you know, anything. You could bring back the three dots. Shout out to Carmelo for basically being first ballot Hall of Famer. You can do other things. Just don't do that. And I know, man, you 12. You got you, man. But you got to basically rise above that and help me feel better, okay? I know it. It looks cool, all that. But you got to stop, big dog. They saying you can't do it, okay? You cannot. So just stop. Seek help, please.
Yes, definitely seek help. I need him to stop. I need him to stop this, Rob. This is going too far. And the crazy part about it is whenever you mention that he's 12, just like the police, he always want to shoot the gun, goddammit.
Can't wait to tell you got it. Like, come on, man. Come on,
I need
man.
You to stop, bro. Just stop.
Just stop it.
Now, moving on. Jason Kidd, bro. Possibly, this would be a coach of the year type move if he can continue to steer this team, which they randomly win games, and he has kept them afloat, Rob. This Mavericks team just riddled injuries. Superstar comes back. Superstar can't stay healthy. One of the best dribblers, scorers in the league goes down. Look, that Mavs team, I don't know how they afloat, bro.
I don't either, dog. And like you just said, steering the ship, steering the thing. It's one thing to basically say that, you know, steering the Titanic away from the iceberg. It's another thing to basically keep that motherfucker afloat after it hits the iceberg. Luka Doncic was out 20 games before basically he was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. It was basically they were in the fourth seed. They dropped all the way down because they didn't have, you know, their best player, essentially. Five-time all NBA first teamer. Then they basically get a guy from that trade, which is Anthony Davis, who then gets, 24, 13.5, and then is out for a month. And then basically loses the only great player you had left in Kyrie Irving,
yep,
to a torn ACL. And throughout all of this, still has them in the play-in. Granted, as the ninth seed, but still has them in the play-in. I was absolutely shocked when I looked at the NBA standings and I still saw this team still there. Like, that is fucking crazy. So I think he has to get coach of the year nod. He has to get a coach of the year nod for what he's done to keep that team relevant. Because me and you were basically saying, like, that team should have basically had, Anthony Davis should have been gone, you know, just shut him down for the season. Kyrie's not there. They got nothing left going for them. They got the relics of Klay Thompson. They got, you know, some other guys that basically nobody's heard of. Granted, that's been playing well, like Max Christie, PJ Washington, like guys that basically have still been doing the damn thing, but it's still to the point of, it's like, what do you do? Now Anthony Davis is coming back, so that really does help them as far as in the play-in game, but it's still to the point of, it's like, he has steered this ship and kept it afloat throughout a lot of fucking tragedy. And granted, on the court, tragedy essentially, but tragedy nonetheless. Give that man his nod.
And the thing is, he's been hit or miss because of the abductor strain. Like, he didn't play the other night. He might come back and play like another game or two. They haven't officially shut him down. It's like, are y'all not going to roll over and die right now? Or are y'all just in straight up survival mode right now? I feel like they're in survival mode. And it's like most teams are shutting people down. They're like, oh, we out of it. Let's kill it. And I expected them to do that because I was like, Davis is already prone to getting hurt. Hey, man, go ahead and shut this down, bro. You're not going to have Kyrie till maybe, hopefully,
the start of next season or the beginning of the next year. Yeah.
So, come on. You gotta work with him. So, that team has been tragedy after tragedy with Daniel Gafford and this one. And they were set up to be so good defensively, especially in the paint with Gafford and Davis, and having a big that could shoot and a big that could rebound, and both of them could block shots. They were set up to win if they were healthy. They were set up to, I'm not going to say they were set up to be a top three, but they were definitely going to be in the mix somewhere between, I'm going to say, six and four, they could have upset somebody. And then it just all just fall apart. Just, you couldn't believe how this just decided to, it was like one thread, and you pull that one thread and everything undid itself. And it's like, oh my God, it's just, you couldn't stop losing after that. It was ungodly like this. So shout out to them for even keeping this together for right now. Like,
it's nuts to even fathom.
Yeah,
straight up nuts.
It really is. Now, a couple other things I do want to talk about in the NBA right now. So, the other night, sitting there watching the game, it's Minnesota and Denver. Going ham, bro. This was a night I was like, this is a great game tonight. Joker goes for 60. A few nights ago, goes for 60, they wind up going to overtime. Well, actually, double overtime they went to.
Mm-hmm.
What pissed me off about this is that this game 3 nights ago was decided upon. I don't know if I can fully blame Westbrook for what happened, but I'm gonna say this: the ref who called this foul, I'd watch myself if I was you in Denver.
I'd watch myself.
No, the best way to put this is this. I may be able to pull this up real quick while we're sitting here. But it essentially came down to a foul being called by Westbrook trying to close out on the shot. And I will forever stand by. I feel like some players fall on purpose whenever people get near. I will always stand by this. And the reason I stand by this is we watch the era of, if I fall, I might get a foul call. Westbrook closes out. As Westbrook closes out, it was just a horrible just sequence of events. Matter of fact, this is what I'm going to do. I got us. I'm going to go ahead and take a look at this right here. Bam. This is said play.
Like it's a Pruder film.
Yep. Bam. So here we go. Inbound comes in. They trap Anthony Edwards. Here's the sequence of events. First, Westbrook misses the layup. Bam.
Oh.
You're like, oh my God. He missed this. Now that layup would have sealed the game. Okay? So they're on Anthony Edwards.
Huh?
Dishes. That right there. Now, if you look at that, there is nowhere. Look at the fans. Look at the fans' confusion, Rob. Look at everybody's. This should have not been called. Watch the closeout. Watch it. Didn't impede his landing zone. Bam.
Are they saying he hit? Well, it said he hit his arm.
It wouldn't matter. Shot is clean.
Yeah. He didn't touch him any time before that shot.
And these two free throws seal the game.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm gonna say is something like that should not affect the game. Not like that, though. That literally affected that game.
Mm-hmm.
That made that game right there. Yeah. He hits two free throws and wins. They win by 1 point. And the thing is, it's gonna be played as a Westbrook blunder, which I'm not gonna lie. Him missing that layup.
Yeah, him missing the layup. That was the most egregious thing on there.
Yes, it was. Because look, if he hits that layup, it's 141, and then it doesn't matter if that foul happens, because then he has to hit all three free throws at that point.
Right.
He has to hit all three.
Right.
But he doesn't hit the layup, the ball goes back down court, and then that happens.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Russell Tiskbrook. That is sad.
Yeah, it was bad, though. It was bad. That shit hurt me. That shit hurt me. It hurt me. Because I was like, they're just right there. And it leads me to say, right now, I feel like the Nuggets are stuck in can't get right mode. They just can't get right. Jamal Murray is out. They've lost the last three. They lost to the Spurs. They lost to the Warriors last night. Now, granted, the Warriors game, I will say this. And I'm speaking on behalf of Jokic. Sometimes y'all motherfuckers just need to give him the ball, okay? I was watching him on a pick and roll, and it might have been Julian Strother that came off the bench or somebody that was in the game. It might have been Christian Braun. But he sets a pick, and Joker beats his man, and all they got to do is lob it over the top, and he's free to the bucket. But they ran in here anyway. And tried to hit a shot. And I feel like at times they try to play hero ball, I guess, to be like, we're helping you. But Joker was 13-17 last night. Mm. 33. The man was shooting a ridiculous percent. 13-17, though. I just knew he was going to get 40 or 50. And they just quit passing the ball. And I'm like, y'all don't see this man? Y'all don't want to give it to the dude who's damn near over his shooting perfect. He's only a few off of perfect. We don't want to give him. All right.
10-4 do-rags on everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are the Nuggets working against Nikola Jokic to give SGA the MVP? Just think about it for a second. Just let's connect the dots here. All right. Russell Westbrook smokes an easy layup. Mm-hmm. His Denver Nuggets players are down, like, as this is coming towards playoff time, are basically not doing right by him. Is it to where they're trying to basically put another guy in the seat to just basically say, hey, this other young man that basically is leading his team to the number one seed, which is, you know, making them a finals contender. Maybe they're working for him. Maybe they're sleeper agents. Sleeper Nuggets, if you will. Like, let's just really think about it. Expand our minds. Keep that third eye open. Because Mile High, when you talk about a peak, you're talking about that third eye being basically right there. And I just need y'all to think about this. Just expand your tenfold do-rag and basically expand that mind of yours to think, are they sleeper Nuggets? Tenfold do-rags off, please.
They damn sure doing something, Rob, because they killing him, right? They are killing him. And then it leads me to last night. 25 turnovers versus the Warriors. Some of the worst turnovers I've ever seen, dog. Just people losing handle of the ball. It was horrible. It was just horrible. And it was to the point where I was like, y'all shooting yourselves in the foot right now. Mm. Michael Porter had a great game. He had like 27 points. Jokic had 33. It was just turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover. And it was little things. Dribbling the ball. Let the ball go. It's out of bounds now. It's like, can y'all hold on to the ball? It was so bad. I was in here at one point, and I know that you remember the movie The Replacements.
Mm-hmm.
With Keanu Reeves. You remember whenever Orlando Jones' character couldn't catch the goddamn ball, mm-hmm. and he put all of that goddamn stickum on his hand and told him to go out there? I was like, I'm about to go to Denver and pull out that big ass jar of stickum and tell him, hold your hands.
Just get him out there. Just hold him up.
Yeah. Pull your hands. And look, whenever he throw y'all the ball, look, y'all gonna catch this and just lay it up. Just get as close to goal as you can so you don't miss. Because this is about to happen. It just aggravated me, though. It aggravated me. But I just had to get that up off my chest. Going to the MLB. So, Rob, do you think ABS would help the game right now?
So ABS is automatic balls and strikes. It's the system that minor league baseball has been using for years now. That basically is kind of similar to what you would see like at Wimbledon or any other tennis tournament, like a big tennis tournament, or like VAR for soccer. But it's basically a challenge system that batters and pitchers can use to challenge balls and strikes. So simply put, like they basically have the ability to touch the top of their helmet, touch the top of their hat. And if there was a pitch that happened that the pitcher basically said, you know, was actually a strike when it was called a ball, or a batter basically, you know, when a strike was called a ball or a ball was called a strike, they can basically do that and challenge the actual play. I don't know if anybody's seen this because I've gone to a minor league game and actually seen it in action. You see on the scoreboard and they'll show like the bracket. They'll show the box, you know, that basically has the ball going in there. They'll show where the ball placement was, and essentially it'll say whether it was a strike or a ball. Now they get two of those a game. I think they might bump it up to three or whatever, or two and a possible, three and a possible, whatever have you. For me, I would like this more than robot umps. And here's why I say that. I want basically one, even though AI is used by many different things and we don't have to basically think of it as Skynet and all that like that, I don't want an over-reliance on AI. I do want, or even like, you know, technology. I like humans basically making human decisions. It's a game played by humans, and I like it to be legislated by humans. But as far as a challenge system that is there to help keep the game at least a little bit more honest, I'm good with that. Challenge system is good for me. I don't really care to expand it anything outside of that. All right. So like if basically a player has the ability to say, hey, you called that a ball, I think it's a strike. They have that ability to do that. Granted, it'll probably be limited because you can't challenge every single fucking pitch that happens in the game. The game is going to be 3 days long. And so having it to where they get a number of challenges that they can use throughout the game, that works for me versus going robot umps or anything like that. But yeah, what you think about it? Like, how do you feel about ABS and how it can be used?
Want it, and then I don't want it. And I'm going to elaborate on that. I want ABS because as a fan, I feel that there are some umpires who are either biased or blind.
Very much. Both, yeah. In some cases.
Yeah, they probably both. Now, would it help them? Yes, because I saw a call the other night that they call a strike. And it was clearly outside of the strike zone. And I was like, you can't call it a strike. But okay, this is where I can see this coming in right now. But as long as it has two challenges, I do see your superstars or your people who like to argue about their calls using these two charges. They're going to use this. And one person for sure that I could actually see arguing about this is on my team, and that's Rafael Devers. Because I watched him take a pitch the other day, and I was like, if ABS is in the game, I say I guarantee you that he's tapping his fucking helmet right now. I see he thinks that shit wasn't a strike. I said, but it was a strike. I said, it's kind of close, but it was a strike. But the look on his face said, if that shit was in right now, I'm tapping my goddamn helmet. Granted, this was during the beginning of the season, his hitting struggles. He's kind of gotten over that a little bit now. He's kind of trying to tune up the band a little bit.
Because that was going to bring me to my point, which was, we talk about ABS, but do you think for him it was ASS? Because that nigga was ass the first part of the season.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
it was him being
ass. Because ASS is not going to help him. Like, ASS is really what he is, and that's really what he can't really overcome at this current moment. But I get your point. I get your overall point. I just want to interject.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't ass against y'all. Wasn't ass against y'all. Got on base four times against y'all.
We were ASS. I will admit to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool.
Whenever he's struggling, he's a person that I know if this shit was there, he's tapping his helmet. He is tapping his, and I remember thinking, I'm kind of glad this shit ain't here right now, because I could see him going off right now, and I'm like, I want this shit, but I don't want this shit, because I know people like you gonna abuse this shit. Y'all are gonna come out here and pop this shit once every other game, y'all. Y'all are gonna be on y'all shit up. Well, that wasn't right. Be like, nah, motherfucker, it was right. You just think it wasn't right. That's the issue right there. Which right now we are in a rain delay, so we might actually be able to catch some of the game.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've been looking at that too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's one of those things, bro. I'm kind of here for it. I do want it to help. I'm here for anything to push forward Major League Baseball. In the right direction. Now, speaking of shit that's pushing things forward, these torpedo bats have been helping people, you know, launch. You know, I try. They have been helping launch things. And the first thing that we are going to clarify, because I see some of you people online who have no freaking clue how and why a torpedo bat is designed like it is, where it came from, and the majority of y'all believing that the shit is illegal. Okay? Mm-hmm. Which it's not.
Not at all.
Yeah. First of all, as Rob will even back me up and saying, MIT bought this forward to them. It's more of a custom bat thing. It moves the sweet spots closer to the hands where they would most likely hit the ball. Okay? It's basically a custom bat instead of, you know, picking a bat off the rack and that's the one that you swing. Okay, so let's be fair about that first. So all of y'all out there who saying these motherfuckers cheating on you, no, they not cheating, okay? It's their custom bat. It's the equivalent to having custom golf clubs for yourself, okay? It is not cheating if you go have the perfect golf club made for you, because it's only for you.
Correct.
It's no advantage to it. The other person can't pick it up and have the same advantage that you have. It's something different. So let's get that shit out the way. All you motherfuckers who gonna go in and say it's this, no. Look, it is what it is, okay? Now, second, Brewers, I know y'all took an ass whooping to the Yankees.
Understatement.
And Rob is gonna enjoy this.
Understatement of the cinch. Cause they
Go ahead, because I know where you want to go with this.
I got an avalanche. You go ahead and finish snowing.
So look, what happened to y'all? Rob has told me y'all are the biggest benefactors of deflection right now. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and eat your avalanche.
See, here's the thing about the Brewers this season. Because, see, they wanted to basically bitch moan and complain. What was it? Trevor McGill talking about, well, it's the Yankees. They're going to get away with it. See, here's the thing, Trevor McGill. Y'all really got boosted asses. Now, granted, y'all lost 4-2 the first game. But what happened in the second game, Nate?
20-9.
Lost 20-9. And then let's go to the third game. 12-3. And you might be asking yourself, oh, well, the Yankees had all the torpedo bats. They had so many people that had torpedo bats. They were torpedo batting it up and all that shit. Not, my friend. Here's who had torpedo bats that were on the Yankees. Paul Goldschmidt, former Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz Chisholm. Cody Bellinger. Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells. Just those five people. Now, you might think to yourself, was there a name, a most notable name that was not on the list that basically had, that didn't have a torpedo bat? Whose name would you think of, Nate, that basically is on the Yankees, that is a former MVP, maybe even a reigning MVP, that basically didn't have a torpedo bat? Who would you think of?
A man named Aaron Judge, I want to say.
Aaron Bleepin' Judge. Boot to ass, Brewers. Boot to ass. That's what that got you. You thinking a torpedo? Nah, it's a foot. And that's where it gave. You just got jolly stomped by a better squad. And I am happy that it happened to you. I couldn't be happier. I remember watching some of those games. I remember looking at them. And it's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. And you can basically blame it on torpedo bats. You could do that. But you know what really is? It's you being ass. Not ABS. ASS. That's what happened to you. All right? And me, I love it. I take my kids to watch it if I could. I basically say, hey, gather around, family. We're about to watch a jolly stomping. And I will basically have that for them, for you. Because that's what I love to see. I love to see your misery. That's for me, my consumption, me in the Count Chocula shirt, that's what I love to see you fail. So you can blame it on torpedo bats. Oh, the Yankees got away with it. No, you stink, stank, stunk.
Aaron Judge hit 4 home runs across them 3 games.
4 of them things.
I want to say, I know Chisholm hit 2 in the last game. Mm-hmm. I want to say Volpe hit 1. I know Austin Wells hit 1 in the first or second game, something like that.
Yeah.
No, in the first and the third game. But yeah, y'all kind of, you know.
Y'all ass.
Yeah, don't blame it on the bats.
Don't blame it on the bats. The game ain't cheating, nigga. It's you. It is you. Your controller plugged in. Everything is just fine. You got beat. Thank you for giving me that, because I needed it. I needed that energy. And you know what you need when you need an energy vote, joke, because you basically see some boots to ass basically happen in front of you? You know who gives me that? D-U-B-B-Y. W-G-G. Gives you the energy that you can basically either put boot to ass or view boot to ass. It give you that energy. And you know what, dog? We like to save you money. And so you know what we're going to do? What we going to do, dog?
Look, we got a code for y'all. Brumigos Pod. Get you 10% off of some dubby. Go ahead and get you some dubby like that.
Get you some dubby. Save them coins. And you can beat poverty's ass by saving that 10%. Maybe. I don't know. I just said shit. But either way, you can use Brumigos Pod to save you 10% and basically get you some energy, get you some dubby, get you some hydration, all of that. Just like you know what? You just need that. Cause the Brewers, they go by beer. They're dehydrated. They're, you know, yo, ho, ho, but then you got ho. I just love to keep talking about it. I could talk about it forever. I really could. But you could go to w.gg and use that promo code and save you some money, get you some energy, get you a dub like the Brewers didn't against the Yankees.
He's really enjoying rubbing that in your face.
He can do it more.
Yeah. Now, Rob does believe torpedo bets should be outlawed for one person.
There's only one person in the world that basically this should basically be outlawed for. And his name is O'Neal Cruz. He is one of the users. Actually, let me roll out the list so y'all can basically not. And this is as of April 2nd. This is from Fox Sports. And this is the list of people that are at MLB right now that uses or torpedo bet. Adley Rutschman, Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Ellie Dela Cruz, the homie, Jose Trevino, Carlos Correa, Ryan Jeffers, Francisco Lindor, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, Paul Goldschmidt, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Alec Bohm, Junior Caminero, Yandy Diaz, and David Schneider. But this person that really should be banned from using the torpedo bat is O'Neal Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And if y'all don't know, I think we've talked about him a ton of times over various things. Hits the ball hard as hell.
That's, yes, he does.
Given the ability to basically have his sweet spot move to the right location, is scary. It's like fucking metal bat town. That motherfucker hits balls with an exit velo of like 115, 118, like scary shit that's coming at you like very, 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 very fast. And so that motherfucker should be outlawed from using. I ain't saying nobody else should be outlawed. That's counting Aaron Judge, who's big as hell. Giancarlo Stanton, who hits the ball hard, but is big as hell. Like, O'Neal Cruz is big as hell, but hits the ball hard all the goddamn time. I just think him basically doing that, I don't know if you basically want that on your conscious, MLB. All right? I don't know if you want that kind of monster. Now, he's not a monster. He seems like a nice dude. But I don't know if you want that behemoth to basically have that kind of power at his whim. All right? That's like giving Thor thunder. Like, that is something that's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying, dog. Like, just think about it. Just reconsider. Read some litter when it comes to basically having that motherfucker have a torpedo bat. That's all I'm really saying.
Yes, definitely. Moving on. We want to talk to you guys a little bit about what's going on in the NFL. So, right now, these people are being tush-push abolitionists right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob wants to hand you your tissue.
Where's my tissue at? Here it is.
Guys, the tush-push is really beating our asses, so we couldn't have it in our league. Here's, you want to share it? Here, just, we'll save conservation of the earth. We can share a tissue.
Fuck out of here. No, the thing about the tush push is, if y'all haven't seen it, watch some Philly games, you're going to find it somewhere. And Buffalo, they do it too. And who also did it that I just found out like this week, Arizona. They do the tush push actually very well, but almost as well as Philly. But the thing about it is, it's like, overall, all it is just a heightened quarterback sneak. It's more like a rugby push, like a rugby scrum, but like it's not anything that's like something that's really out of the ordinary. Kind of like torpedo bats. It's something that's within the rules, within the parameters of the game, but something that one team basically can do very well and other teams can't. And you wonder like, hey, why can't this team of the Philadelphia Eagles do this so well? It's because they basically sign Mountain. Like from Game of Thrones, they find five people that are mountain and basically put them on the offensive line and then have a motherfucker that squats mountains and put a motherfucker that squats mountains behind him and basically have this thing go. So that's how this thing is so effective. And you got all of these huge human beings that are fast and are athletic and everything like that, but they're pushing forward. It's the simplest shit in the world. It's not anything that's like some crazy, no like, it's really not. It's the most football shit you basically gonna see anywhere. Like, it's, hey, I'm big, you big, get the fuck out of my way. That's what it is. I don't see the point in banning it because, okay, you saying like, okay, Philly has this advantage. They're not doing this from 2nd and 6. They're not doing this from 3rd and 5. They're doing this from like 3rd and 1, 2nd and 1, and everything like that. It's a very much situational play that comes in every now and then because these people have the personnel to basically carry out the mission. So it doesn't make any sense to basically ban it unless you want to ban football.
Me personally, I got 2 words for you. Push back. See, my whole thing with this is instead of going against them saying, hey, it's illegal for them to do it, get a rule and say, hey, since they can stack up, let us stack up on defense and push against them and let the best man win.
Correct.
Okay. This is how we're going to do this, because I hear what some people are saying where they're trying to make the argument of it's a player safety thing. Nah, I doubt that. It really is. I don't believe that due to the fact of I'm smarter than that. Okay. No one has gotten hurt, at least to my knowledge, on a tush push. I haven't seen it. If you have, go ahead and leave it in the comment section. Let us know. If you find a clip, leave us the link. I would like to know. I haven't seen it done, Rob. So, with that being said, it's just like, I don't know if you remember years ago, they stopped the defense on field goal attempts from stacking up to push.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we're going to do that, you took away that push, let me get the push against the tush push. Because that's what it is. It's a clash of, look, it's an upfront clash of who's going to be stronger. Let us stack up. Now, granted, there could be the vulnerability of, like me and you discussed at one point, you might fake it and toss the ball wide, but hey, it's rolling dice.
That's football.
It's rolling dice, bro. Take the chance. Give them a chance to combat it the same way. If exactly. You do that, I can't say anything. I'll be like, you know what? You won with that. You beat them out. It is what it is at that point. Let it happen. Okay?
But my thing is, if it's also a player safety issue, ban the sneak. That's basically putting your best player in a vulnerable position against the biggest people on the other side. So if you're basically so scared of, oh, well, you know, or you're so scared, oh, man, people are going to get hurt doing this specific thing, ban the sneak. Because I'd be fine if you took out the sneak. I don't need it in the game. And it probably is going to save some tread on your quarterbacks. Like, say, a Tua. You know, Tua basically, he has head injuries very, very frequently. Having him where he's not going head first into a play, or banning a play that basically would have him going head first into a play, would seem advantageous to the league and the Miami Dolphins or whoever's going to basically have Tua. So if you're going to ban a thing, ban that. Or if you're going to ban the tush push, ban both. That's what I would say.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of real, you have to balance anything that you fool with rules wise. You have to balance it, and we can't act like the NFL isn't like the NBA where it's offensive heavy right now. We already noticed. So this is one of those things where instead of defense, instead of trying to get that banned and taken from them, just say, hey, let us stack up too. Let us stack up and see if they can beat us. And if they can beat us, all is fair and love and war, and we'll deal with it. But let us at least get the chance to stack up. And I'm fine with it. They do that, I'm cool with it. I won't care anymore after that. I'll be fine with it. Now, as you guys know, we are coming closer to WrestleMania. And me and Rob are okay, we are wrestling fans. So, from here on out, up until, you know, WrestleMania, we're going to start talking about some things that we want to see some preview type stuff. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and start it with kind of a WrestleMania day one. What are you looking forward to seeing, Rob? Like, or what has surprised you that hasn't been announced yet?
Yeah. So like one thing that basically I'm still kind of puzzled on, how hasn't this become a triple threat by now? Like when it comes to Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Io Sky. It's so easy to basically make this into a triple threat. And we're about, what, a couple weeks from WrestleMania? So, like, they've been teasing it. They've been putting it out there, whether you had Rhea basically doing the contract signing. I've been in and out of wrestling, but I've been kind of following. But, like, you had basically Io win the world title, you know? You basically had it set up to where you're not going to do the Bianca Rhea match, even though that match has been basically been set up for like the last 4 years. All right. And so like, you don't want to have that go at this WrestleMania. Fine. But you basically not having the triple threat that you've been teasing for a long time. And granted, we got more time than we usually have between the last pay-per-view event and this one. And they're on the UK tour and all that kind of stuff. But let this actually happen, because I cannot wait for the triple threat. These are two excellent athletes. These are three excellent athletes, three excellent champions on their own right. Three basically people that can hold it down. Even though it's like they got Io in there just so she could take the pin, essentially, it don't seem like Io's going to win this match. And granted, Nate will tell you, I'm basically the one that always gives people, you know, They're not comeuppance, but like basically I pump people accidentally. Like I pump people up. Like I get them to where it's like they get some level of stardom accidentally because I basically say, hey, oh no, this shouldn't win. And then all of a sudden they do. Chris Sale, I still apologize. But like, Io, like she seemed like she's going to take the pin. She seemed like she's going to lose that title. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Because, I mean, we've talked about it, or I feel like we've talked about it. I might have talked about it with others. There's so many people you basically can have as contenders for Bianca. Whether you're talking about Jade, Naomi, Rhea, Liv, etc. Same thing with Rhea. We got Bianca. You got Jade, possibly. You can have Charlotte. You can have Liv, Raquel. So many people. Then you got Io. Who is going to be her contender? Like, who is going to be her dance partner after all of this is said and done? So even if she does win the title, you might have Bianca, maybe. You might have Rhea. But that's really it. There's nobody really set up that's right there at that level that you can basically say, this is somebody that's going to be a world title contender. I mean, what, you're going to say Dakota, even though they basically still clicked up cool? Like, it's really not anybody you can really put right there. So Io seemingly is going to take the pin. But I don't know what's going to happen after that. So
yeah. And see, I think part of it is because the women have two championship belts. So you kind of split with people you have between two belts or who's chasing what at the time. But then it kind of makes sense for Bianca to get the belt. It just makes sense. Like you said, Io could keep it. But I don't think she will.
No.
I don't think she will. I think it's going to be a Bianca Belair belt. And she's going to do her thing, you know? I'm trying to think where else that could go from there if Io kept it.
Really not much. I mean, maybe they call up Julia from NXT. They could call up some people that make maybe be able to interject. But it's not really anybody set up for or seemingly set up for her to basically go against if this stuff blows over. She's kind of been the add-on as the champion. Like, she's been somebody that they've kind of put in there. Like, somebody else to take the pin, brother. Like, somebody that's just there to be that intermediary. So, you could keep Bianca strong. You could keep Rhea strong. But it's just somebody just to be there. And I hate that for her, necessarily. I hate that she has to be that in this. Because she's an excellent wrestler. And, you know, she's somebody that shouldn't be in that kind of position.
Okay, because like Chelsea Green is women's United States.
Right.
The only other way I could see somebody would have to drop a belt or lose a belt and then chase her with that particular belt. You'd have to, somebody would have to drop something to chase something else.
Yeah, I mean, the draft is coming up. So, I mean, maybe things get rearranged and now you got basically, say she is the champion, you have another contender that is on another show that basically can be put into that kind of position. So,
yeah, that could always happen. That shakeup could always happen, which that could be a thing. That could be a thing. That shakeup, that type of shakeup in the draft could happen. And it could be a possibility of somebody chasing the belt. We don't know what they have on their mind. I know what I might do, but I don't know what WWE is thinking. WWE is finicky about who they want certain things and who they want to chase certain things. So that's them. Now, one step to Jacob Fatu owning the world, beating LA Knight.
Absolutely. Nah, man, Jacob Fatu is basically going to be owning the world soon. Like, by this time next year, he's going to probably be world champ. Somebody's world title is going to be on that man's shoulder. Mark my words that basically I can really see that being the case. And it sucks with LA Knight because the thing with LA Knight is that man looks so perfect for that title. Oh, my God. It's like every time I see him with that title, it's like it looks like it was made for him. But he's going to lose that thing to Jacob Fatu at WrestleMania. It's just a matter of time. Y'all going to see it. We all going to look at it. Jacob Fatu is too damn big, too damn strong. Beat, you know, Braun Strowman. Beat so many different people. He just so, in another universe, if say this was, Jacob Fatu was with the company for like the last, say, 6 years, that man would have been the Fiend. I honestly think like with how his build, with his mannerisms, I could see a mask being put on him and he would have been the Fiend. Or say Bray does stay alive and they need somebody to be the stand-in as the Fiend. He would have been absolutely perfect as that character. Like, kind of like Matanzo. I don't know if y'all remember Lucha Underground, but Jeff Cobb, who played the monster, I think it was Matanzo, but I might be saying his name wrong. But
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, but like he basically played that character. I see Jacob Fatu being somebody like that. You know, like somebody that is a big ass monster that can overcome all, that is powered by the dark magic, whatever it may be. Like, that's what I would have basically did. Bring back Lucha Underground too. I miss you, Lucha Underground. I don't know if you're out there. I don't know if you listen to our podcast. I don't know if basically you're okay. But if you are okay, please be okay. Please stay okay. And if you're not thinking about coming back, please reconsider. We want you back. I want you back. You have been great to me. You have been great to us. We miss you, Lucha Underground. Please come back one day. All right. But step one, like I said, of Jacob Fatu owning the world is beating LA Knight at WrestleMania. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and when it's going to be either the 19th.
So in a second here, I got a theory. It came across my head. So right after we discuss this, I'm going to tell you where I think LA Knight is going to be heading after he loses this title. So I got a theory because I have been thinking about this and I wanted to save this. So first, let's get this out of the way. A very small part of you said that you still don't want to see Jay win that title from Gunther.
So, and this ain't even no hater shit. It's just really more... I preface everything about this with Jay Uso has done everything needed to be a world champion. He is the most over. He basically got a great catchphrase. He's been selling merch. He's been having people do his thing. Like, he's a very over babyface, which you really don't get a lot within WWE. So he has worked to do this. He has worked to maintain this. He has earned every single bit of it. However, I'm just saying that it's like part of me still wants Gunther to retain. And it's really more that one, it seemed like he keep losing titles at WrestleMania. That seems like his thing. It's like he goes someplace and he just keeps losing that goddamn title. Whatever way it is, he just keeps on losing. And so I want him to retain and I want him to basically be out on top because I love Gunther. I love his character. This title reign has been kind of more missed than hit, but I will say that like he basically or it's not as good as his Intercontinental title reign. I'll put it like that. It hasn't been as good because that motherfucker was exceptional. Like, but I think his title reign has been kind of more than that one. But With Jay, it's like, I just ain't all that into him. I understand he's over. I think he is a great character. I think he has been holding it down and basically made the bloodline storyline what it is. It's just that it's something about him that I'm not as into. And I can't really give you a good handle what it is. So it's a very, 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 very small part of me that basically still doesn't want him to win. But I wouldn't mind if he does win, honestly.
Okay, so I'm going to start from the top of my theory and work my way down and put people in places and try to give you the picture that I see.
Lay it out.
Okay, so biggest match, Cody versus Cena, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've both been on record saying that we feel like Cena's going to lay down, but what if he doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
What if he does get to go out with the title?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like we said, what if this is a new iteration of a new belt that they bring in because Cena leaves with that belt? Okay.
Mm.
Now, from here, remember, we've said Gunther is probably going to lay down for Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Jay now has said belt. LA Knight loses belt to Jacob.
Okay. Mm.
What better feud of having LA Knight chase Jay, charismatic on charismatic, behind that title? New belt comes into play. Cody Rhodes has something new that he's going to chase with a slew of other people behind him chasing his belt. So now, new belt, Cody. Gunther no longer has a belt. LA Knight can go chase Jay because Jay has Gunther's belt. Because like we said, Gunther loses belts at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you have a shakeup.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we still haven't thrown the shakeup. Because we know that there's going to have a shakeup at some point. You don't know if Braun might get a chance to chase a higher belt.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all love the explosiveness of Braun Breaker.
So damn good.
But think about a LA Knight versus Jey Uso.
I don't know if they're going to do that, though, because you got babyface on babyface violence.
That's could turn somebody.
Yeah, but you ain't gonna really turn Jay. And I mean, you could turn LA Knight. But it's like, is this the time to turn LA Knight?
I don't know.
Because they got him in a lot of commercials and shit like that, too.
Yeah, but if you did turn him, you couldn't make him go full heel, maybe like...
Like a tweener?
Yeah, like kind of like a tweener. That way he can ride that line. Because I think he can do it. I think he can do it.
Yeah, he can.
And I think he's the perfect person to do it, to let him chase like the world heavyweight title that's on Jay now. It gives him something else because we have to give Jacob a belt. You have to give Jacob a belt now. The bloodline is such a thing that they are going to suck up titles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because of who they are. But then you need people like LA Knight relevant chasing something. Okay. Because Gunther losing a title to me is kind of fine. Because you know who he reminds me of? Sheamus. Mm. Once Sheamus got over, Sheamus really didn't need belts because he was Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Gunther is that Gunther now. He's him.
Yeah.
So does he really need a belt? No.
Not really.
Could you do some crazy shit like him want to go take Braun Breaker's Intercontinental? Never know. You.
That's true.
That would be, in the words of Big E, that would be two big meaty men slapping meat. I mean, there you go. You. That would be definitely entertaining to watch them two go at it. Think that's something that they could possibly do that would shake up all of that. Because if you think about it, we've seen new iterations of every belt except which one. the Undisputed title. If you think about it, the Undisputed title is the oldest design of every belt that's left up there right there. So why not give Cena his title and let him go home and bring in a new belt?
That's true.
It's something I would do. Because Cena said, I'm going to take this and go home and you'll never have this again. What if that was our code that saying the new belt is coming in, Cody's really going to lay down? Because remember, Cody has a lot of admiration for John.
That's true.
He could easily say, let John take this and go home, because me and Vinsky discussed this. John bought the WWE through dark times whenever nobody else was there.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm running the show, I'm going to let him get his title and go home. Mm-hmm. You did something for this company at times whenever we were in dark days, and you bought us through this shit. And I'm going to let you have this motherfucking go home, okay? I'm going to give you this one. If it's one dude that I'm willing to let that happen, it's John Cena. I'm willing to let him take his title and go home and say, I know I may not get this Legends deal up out of you right away because you're going to be doing movies and shit, mm-hmm. but you take this and go home with this with 17 times. Take the record. Take that belt. That's yours on your mantle. Keep that forever, John. That's all. I think that's something that could happen, bro. What do you think?
I think that's all possible. Like, I honestly do. And I think we're going to... I'm gonna save my thoughts for those Cena and Cody Rhodes to our day two preview of WrestleMania. But yeah, no, I think you spot on with everything you said.
And Cody, I'm looking at you in this goddamn tattoo again. I need you to... Dog, look. People at home, look. Don't be mad with me, okay? Cody, you were right whenever that guy tried to write you that check to let you get out of that. Because first of all, the tattoo either should be smaller or it should be lower. One of the... It's just...
It's gaudy.
Yes.
It's absolutely gaudy.
That tattoo does not do for you what the tribal does for Roman Reigns or Bill Goldberg or the Brahma Bull does for The Rock. That shit don't do none of that shit.
It's such a stupid looking tattoo.
I don't know. I think look. Sometimes people fuck up, Cody. And mm-hmm. This is your fuck
up. Mm-hmm.
And you know we learn. But you got that money. If you want, you can get rid of that thing. You know what you can do.
Skin grafting. That's it.
Yeah, you can have him take care of that for you. But I look at that shit sometime and I'm like, what the fuck was he thinking? Just that's the only thing goes through my mind.
Mm-mm.
The blonde hair, I'm cool with. The music, everything. You right. Got over. You got something people like. And then I get to that tattoo and I'm like, your wife should have slapped you upside the head before you got that shit.
Agreed.
She wasn't on her P's and Q's with that one that day. She might have hit you whenever y'all got home, but she ain't hit you while we was at the tattoo shop.
Like, when the thought crossed your mind, her hand was not there.
Yeah, she should have been there then. That she should have hit you and told you, get that shit out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like granddad did Huey. Now, I know what you're thinking about, making them white folks run like that. Get that out of your mind. But granddad, nah. You're not gonna do that. I don't know. But with that being said, we brought Migos Podcast. You know where you can find us. YouTube, Facebook, Blue Sky, Spotify,
Threads,
all over Threads,
Pandora,
everywhere.
Pandora. Apple Podcasts, Apple, Amazon Music, YouTube, all over YouTube. Look up in the sky, you're gonna see us.
You just might. You just might see us up there. But remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about us, share us. You can listen to us anywhere you want. Okay?
Everything.
But just
we might come to your crib and just start doing a podcast. Like, you never know. You never know.
We might just show up WWE in your house style and just start mm-hmm. doing a podcast.
Bromigos in your house.
In your house, Bromigos edition, and you just gonna have to deal. You're gonna be like, they actually showed up, man. Yes, we did.
Yeah,
yes, we did. We're here now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and get up out of here. Rob, take us up out of here.
Good night. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Of course, you can basically find us anywhere. You can email us, you know, brahmigospodcast@gmail.com. All of that shit. If you are a company that is looking to basically have that same thing like you just heard, the dubby spot that we had, hit us up. We're available. We're so willing to basically do help y'all out there. And we got y'all, you know, like we want to help the people save some money and we want to basically get businesses out there. So hit us up anywhere you can find us. Like I said, look up in the sky. You might find us there.
And with that being said, we're out of here.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Brahmigos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.